God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening. Thanks for taking time to tune in to Do Not Keep Silent. Going to be talking about making your faith in Almighty God your own, not someone else's tonight. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Oh, don't be a pushover again. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Appreciate you tuning into the program tonight. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Our parent ministry is Worldview Warriors. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Worldviewwarriors.org. Also, just want you to know, later on in February, my wife and I actually are going to be speaking at a marriage conference and about the importance of raising children in a house of liberty. Haven't come up with the title of our workshop yet. Probably something like Two Rules or something like that. But it'll be in Indiana. We'll give you more information later on. Again, my wife is Jaya DeZurich. Been married for quite a few years. We have 6 children of our own. 3 out of the house, 3 in the house. And tonight I wanted to discuss with you, especially children, those of you under 18, please take time to tune in tonight with me. And parents who are tuned in, you'll want to hear this as well. Simply because you don't want your children's faith to be built completely on your own faith. They need to build their own faith in Almighty God. You'll see why, hopefully within, the next 20 minutes or so. So I encourage you, do not ride your parents' faith. Sharing from a blog post written by Charlie Wilcott. He's one of our bloggers, author, and speaker for the ministry. Appreciate him being a part of the ministry, sharing truth. Friends, there's an entire demographic in many churches today that are in danger of hearing the words of Jesus that we find in Matthew 7. The ones that say this, "I never knew you." Friends, Jesus talked about the difference between true and false converts more than any other topic. Most, if not all, of his parables had to deal with that issue, friends. So tonight, I want to dig into just a bit about false converts, those who claim to be Christian, and many who ride their parents' faith, grandparents' faith, aunts and uncles. Friends, you know who you are. Friends, I just think it's time to address this with what's going on in society today. In 2 Chronicles 23 through 24, it covers the details of Joash's reign. King Joash, his rise to the throne, it really is a great testimony of God's protection of David's line. Athaliah, who was the daughter of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, those two, followed well in her parents' footsteps. She actually sought to wipe out the entire royal family when her son died, and only Joash survived because he was hidden from Athaliah. Athaliah actually ruled for 6 years, very wicked in her actions. And Joash, during that time, was raised by Jehoiada, the high priest. When Joash was 7 years old, the high priest Jehoiada made his move to remove Athaliah and instill Joash as king. She was executed, and the idols to Baal were torn down, and the worship of the Lord was reinstated. It actually was a great day because wickedness was met with justice. And the king who could lead the people in the ways of the Lord was in power. Joash, well, he initially set out to actually do this. He's actually one of the few kings who's recorded repairing the temple after years of disarray. And that was because of idol worship being put there and worse things taking place within those walls. And so Joash is actually considered to be a good king for this, which is great. But we see this in 2 Chronicles 24:2. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. This is very different from the other kings who are listed as good kings. It says that the king, who was good, did what was right all the days of their lives. Now, again, when we read about Joash, he didn't do this all the days of his life. Actually, his false worship began the moment Jehoiada died. Again, Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Friends, Joash even killed Jehoiada's son for confronting him about this. Again, the high priest's son, he confronted Joash, and Joash had him killed because he was calling him out. In the end, Joash was assassinated. And the end of his reign was, well, friends, particularly so bad that he was not even given a proper king's funeral. It's really quite incredible. So what led to Joash's demise? Friends, it's not because he didn't have a good mentor or a good discipler. It wasn't because he had listened to bad advice. It was because he was actually a false convert. In fact, if you go read the Bible, it really never talks about Joash seeking the Lord. The closest it gets is saying he sought to repair the temple. He did works for God, but never sought God personally. Jehoiada, the man who had raised him, the high priest, he was a good man. He sought the Lord, sought to protect Judah, and taught Joash all the ways of the Lord. He was an old man, too, and died at the age of 130. Friends, Joash basically rode Jehoiada's faith. He followed God's ways because the man who raised him followed God's ways, but God's ways were never his ways. See the point? See what went on there? Years ago, a book was written called Already Gone, written by Ken Ham. The book, which I highly recommend, addresses the issue of countless youth, countless students being raised in the church and then leaving it as young adults. Many today blame secular education, especially at the high school and college levels, for turning them. However, Ham actually suggests the real reason they are leaving was because they never were there to begin with. They were never in a relationship with God to begin with. Now, don't get him wrong, don't get me wrong. They know the language. They know how to speak churchese. But they never knew the Lord. They followed their parents' rules or grandparents' rules. but they never really embraced what was happening, how to live that way. And the moment they left the house, their faith was left behind with them. Friends, because it was never theirs. If we're honest with ourselves, I believe this is a really good summary of the bulk of the quote-unquote ex-Christian testimonies that I keep hearing about, you know, deconstruction videos. But, friends, really the problem comes here. They're really not ex-Christians because they never were Christians to begin with. 1 John 2:19 tells us they came out of us but were never of us. I recently saw a video posted by someone talking about how they love the gospel, but they don't love the Bible. They don't love the rest of the Old Testament. They claimed that, well, I can get into the gospel, but the stuff before, I just can't agree with that. The person in the video was sharing how there are things in the Bible they just can't agree with. Well, friends, that's part of the problem. This person, dare I say, really doesn't understand the gospel message. They've bought into things like save the planet or save the puppies, save the polar bears, thinking that's love or love for humanity, love for the earth, when all it really is false worship for the creation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't have things you want to help out with, causes per se. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is about his birth, life, death, and resurrection. That is the good news of Jesus Christ, and that he is Almighty God. You see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus Christ, being Almighty God, being Creator God, he is the God of the Old Testament too. So just because there's things there that you don't like, that doesn't mean you can just throw it away and call yourself a Christian. Again, this isn't me being mean or judgmental. It comes down to just hopefully teenagers, young adults, your parents cannot save you. And parents, you cannot save your children. Now, yes, you need to love your children, but don't make them an idol. Teenagers, young adults, you're not going to make it to heaven because your parents are Christians. Now, they can teach you the truth. I know my wife and I have done this with our 6 children. We teach the truth in love. But dear listener, you must embrace it for yourself. I cannot, my wife cannot make our children embrace it. Parents, you cannot force your child to become a Christian. Now you can teach them the truth. Again, the truth in love. But teenagers, young adults, you must own this faith. You cannot claim to be a Christian just because your parents are, or even just because you go to a church. I'll be discussing this later on in another program. But I encourage you, do not become a Christian in name only. Because in the long run, that's going to show. Your hypocrisy will be known. Christianity is not some label to wear. It's not, well, a statement of beliefs that you hold to. It's not just, well, I believe this, and so that's just what I am. Friends, it is a completely new identity, a new nature. And to be quite frank, it will make you very different from everyone else as well. It'll make you different from who you are now. You cannot be a Christian and be popular with the world and be consistent in your life. Pick one. Again, pick one to follow. But here's a word of caution. The world is going to dismiss you the moment you are no longer beneficial to them. Look, just a little PSA for you. The world actually doesn't care about you. If you follow God, it's going to be hard. But I will tell you, he'll never abandon his own. Parents, your children don't come to heaven with you just because you're going. They're going to make it to heaven by them surrendering their own life. And again, it comes down to whether they've been born again. Parents, I encourage you to stop trying to find any remote hint of a sliver that your children might be saved if they're living godless lives. Stop fooling yourself. You cannot hope on the day of judgment that their profession of faith as a 7-year-old is going to be sufficient. You're not only deceiving them, but you're deceiving yourself. Teach your children how to walk in faith when you are not around. Friends tuning into me right now here for this program, for Do Not Keep Silent. Parents, if your children have backslidden, well, I don't even like talking about it, but there's a good chance they were never saved to begin with. I encourage you to just be real. Just face it. I encourage you to teach them what true salvation is and live that faith by your own lives. And I know tonight's been pretty difficult for some of you probably to hear. So I'll just add one more thing. If your child, after doing everything in your power to showcase Christ, still rejects him, that is his or her choice. And it is not your fault. If you have sought the Lord in your own life, you've lived it, you've showcased it before your children, and they still refuse to walk with Christ, please do not blame your failures. Don't sit there and go, oh, it was me. Friends, it is on them. How do I know this? And why can I speak this so confidently? Because, friends, I was that prodigal son. I was the one saying, I don't want that. I was a Christian in name only for many years. I did what I wanted to do. I lived the way of the world. I didn't even want God in my life or his ways. You know why? Because it wasn't fun. If sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. The price is oh so high, though. Now, I do want you to know, I was raised in a home when I was about 6-7 years old that my parents started to strive to live for God. Before that, though, My father did not know the Lord. My mother was trying, but, you know, she was married to this guy who didn't know the Lord, didn't really want to know the Lord. He enjoyed his life. He'd come home late at night. He came home late after a night of drinking with his buddies. Sometimes I wouldn't even see him when I go to bed. My mother would put me and my sister to bed, and then my dad would come home after that. And do not forget, God works all things together for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So back in 1976, my father got into a very bad car accident. He hit a culvert head on with his 72 Nova. The car accident was so bad that the engine of the car was ripped out of the front of the car and was laying in a field. And they don't even know how many times my father's car flipped. They had to get the jaws of life to get him out. It was a horrible accident. It actually happened on New Year's Eve, 1976. And all that happened to my father in that car accident I just explained to you. He had a cut on his head from they don't know what. And his left collarbone had been broken from the seatbelt. That was it. He went to the hospital. And the only people that came to see my father were the people in a church that my mother was attending. In fact, I can share this with you. My father was coming home that night. He's told me this numerous times. He was coming home on New Year's Eve because my mom and us two children were at that church, and he knew she was seeing another man. He knew it, and he was coming to bust him. Friends, that man my mother was going to see was Jesus Christ. She wasn't there for some other guy to find love. Well, love in that way. My mother was going there because of the love God has for us and the love of the people in that congregation. And the only people, again, that came to see my father in the hospital were the people that were a part of that small congregation. None of his drinking buddies came. None of his coworkers came. Only people he'd never met. And the pastor of that church came and, well, they prayed a prayer of salvation. And my father, from that day forward, decided, I'm going to follow God with everything I have. He gave up all of his alcohol on that day, hasn't had one drop since. Again, that was in 1976. Praise God, as of now, my father is still with us. But I can tell you for sure, friends, my father and mother did the best they could to raise us in the ways of the Lord. Now, were they perfect? No way. Nope. Because they're not perfect. They're not Almighty God. And I can tell you, I chose to go my own way. Again, because I wanted to have fun. But my parents never quit praying for me. Keep praying for your children. I encourage you to not necessarily pray for them to return to the Lord, but pray for them to meet him in the first place, and that if that means handing them over to Satan to be brought back from rock bottom, then so be it. I can tell you, that is my story. That is the reason I am so adamant about following this God of the universe. I hit rock bottom. It wasn't that God enabled me or my parents enabled me. It was, man, the choices I've made are really bad. Friends, again, whether your children are at home or whether they're out on their own, I encourage you to pray for them. Pray that they see the Lord for who He really is. And children tuning in right now, don't be as Joash, who only looked at God's direction while Jehoiada was alive. Do not use your parents' faith to do your work for you. That's not going to work anyway. I encourage you to live in victory. Friends, I pray for you that on the day of judgment, you'll hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Again, sharing with you from Charlie Wolcott's blog post. It's titled, "Do Not Ride Your Parents' Faith." My name is Jason DeZurek, your host for the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Don't be a pushover, friends. I'll see you next time.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.